man has 48 points. It's the start of the fourth quarter. 48 points.
Yikes.
10 three-pointers. And it's the start of the fourth quarter. Now, Steph Curry has started the fourth quarter on the bench, and I imagine he'll come back in at some point. It is 99-83. The Golden State Warriors were actually trailing at the half, despite Steph being superhuman, which had us feeling pretty decent heading into the second half with our plays. The Warriors were trailing. Steph Curry had 30 at the half.
Yeah.
Good. Steph Curry dropped 18 in the fourth quarter. They outscored Denver 43-22. It is 99-85 right now. Golden State with the lead over the Denver Nuggets. The man has 48 points in three quarters of basketball, Matt.
Yeah, and they're just getting out-hustled now, too. They have that look of defeat in their eyes, Denver.
Jamal Murray back. You know, a reason I threw this into the Moneyline parlay was last night the Nuggets were embarrassed by the Celtics.
Yeah.
They got their butts whipped, lost by 18 to the Celtics. They're playing the Warriors tonight. No Kelly Oubre, no James Wiseman. Jamal Murray was back. It felt like a spot. All I need them is to win. I mean, to cover. Just win. Not going to happen. Maybe it will. 99-86. It is the NBA. Crazy things happen.
Yeah.
And the second half, third quarter, geez, easy for me to say, 43-22. Warriors outscore the Denver Nuggets. The Suns on cover watch here. How about the pesky Houston Rockets? They said we're not going to roll over. Trailed 81-58 at the half, did the Houston Rockets. But right now, they're inside the number. They were getting 12 tonight in Phoenix, and they lead 122-111. The Suns lead by that score. But Houston Rockets right now inside the number at 11. And Devin Booker starting to pick it up a little bit. 22 points for Devin Booker. Jay Crowder. Football's on the mind. Jay Crowder has 26 points. He's hit 8 threes.
That's it?
Chump. Nothing compared to what Steph Curry's done.
No.
So those are the only two games going on right now. The Washington Wizards, the Wizards, like we all expected, went into Salt Lake City tonight as a 11-point underdog and beat the Utah Jazz plus 490 on the money line tonight for the Washington Wizards. 125-121 over hits as well in the Wizards and Jazz game.
Boy, it was a big dog day overall in sports. We had a plus 300 hockey dog come home. Detroit hammered the Houston Astros is a big dog. The Mets lost to the Marlins. I mean, I just feel like some big dogs. You know, the Jazz lose outright as 11.5-point favorite. There were some pretty substantial favorites that lost outright tonight.
Yeah, right now, the Golden Knights have regained the lead in Los Angeles. They now lead 3-2. That one early third period. They were the favorite in that one over.
Big favorite, minus 180.
Going back to staying on the ice real quick, you mentioned that Detroit game. Detroit was in Carolina tonight, and you could have got it at closing at the South Point at plus 320.
Wow.
For the Detroit Red Wings. They won 3-1.
Game.
Yeah. They won 3-1 tonight. The Anaheim Ducks, you could have got them as high as plus 170 at William Hill. They're up 3-0 late in the second period.
Wow.
So dogs are eating tonight.
Yeah.
And another dog that is trying to finish up its meal, a home dog, that would be the Golden State Warriors. Right now, you could have got the Golden State Warriors at plus 181 here at Circa. So a decent little return. And they're up 103-87, much to the chagrin of myself and Mr. Matt Holt. But, you know, sometimes Steph Curry is going to drop 48 points and hit 10 three-pointers.
Yeah, one doesn't feel good.
No, not enjoying it all that much. But I will enjoy talking to Eric Eager. Always like that. We'll talk to him next. Stick around. It's the Nightcap. It is the Nightcap, hour number 3 here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live from the Circus Sportsbook. And I'd say a little uncharacteristically, we have some sweats.
Yeah.
We have some Monday night sweats. Oh, by the way, Jeff Goodman just tweeted this out. For anyone worried about, woo, Pig Suey losing their coach, Arkansas, Eric Musselman, finalizing a new multi-year contract that will keep him with the Razorbacks.
And that should keep all the Arkansas fans happy.
Yeah.
Because, they boy, do they love the Mus Bus down there.
And he's been working it.
Yep.
He's been working it. Working the got the transfer from South Dakota.
Yeah.
Chris Likes. So there is some real love in the futures market for the Arkansas Razorbacks. And there was thought with Arizona opening, he's kind of a West Coast guy, that maybe he'd ultimately land at a West Coast job. But as of now, per Jeff Goodman, he'll be sticking around for some time there as Arkansas finalizing a multi-year contract to keep the Mus Bus in Fayetteville. I don't know how to transition from that into Eric Eager. I was going to try to some sort of bus thing, but that wasn't going to really work out all that well. But I was listening, Eric, last night to a little podcast. It's called the PFF Forecast. Not sure if you've ever heard of it. Eric Eager and George Shahuri are the two esteemed hosts of that said program. And it was a late on a Sunday night, Eric, and I needed to pick me up. Man, you were fired up. And all I got to say is I agree with everything that was said. I don't think, you know, you should draft a quarterback 1, 2, or 3, you know, just it should all be offensive guards.
Right. I mean, that's the safest way to go about it. You know, I think the segue was probably you guys' discussion of all the underdogs that have been live tonight. And then on the NFL betting prop market for the draft, a very live dog.
Oh, yeah.
Third overall pick in Justin Fields, who yesterday when we recorded the PFF forecast was +250. Now, depending upon where you look, I think he's south of 200 now.
Yeah, it's gone back and forth. You just checked mid show and it had bounced back to +250 at William Hill.
Yeah, +250.
Yeah, it's been a funny market. I
took a tiny bit of +250. That felt about the right number.
Yeah, I have it at +260. So I'm with you guys. I'm all aboard the Justin Fields train. I don't understand it. And Eric, you guys really just dive into it and what makes logistical sense. And honestly, that doesn't always pan out when it comes to the NFL draft. Teams fall in love with a particular player. But, you know, for you guys, yourself, with George, with all of you guys there at PFF, you're big believers in Kyle Shanahan and what he's been able to do over the years and his stops prior to San Francisco. I just, once again, and you guys have said it, we've had George on last week, he said it, I feel like we're a broken record, but you don't trade up 9 spots for a high-floor quarterback in Mac Jones. You trade up 9 spots for a high-ceiling quarterback like Justin Fields.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. I think also, just from a gambling perspective, at +250, you're basically talking about less than 30% break even. And if you were to tell me it like a few weeks ago that the third quarterback taken was going to be a three-sided die between Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones, I would have said, okay, fine. Like, even if that's the case, even if that's the truth, Fields at 33% at +250 is a plus EV play. And obviously there's all the other associated things, which is that Fields is the better prospect than Mac Jones. And the auxiliary things like the 49ers, if we remember back to 2017 when Lynch was hired, not only did the media not know that Lynch was even interviewing, the other candidates didn't know that Lynch was interviewing. And that was because the 49ers during the Jim Harbaugh era, the Trent Baalke, you know, all the way to Chip Kelly, were felled by a lot of leaks. And that was one thing that John Lynch did not want to be a part of his regime. You look at subsequent moves, the Garoppolo trade kind of, we didn't know about it until it happened. The DeForest Buckner trade, we didn't know about it until it happened. I think this idea that there's been leaks out of the 49ers building, I think that's completely false. I think people are making stuff up a little bit. And furthermore, if there are leaks coming from lower level people, I can tell you from working with people in the league, the majority of the people in the building for all 32 teams have absolutely no idea who they're taking with that first pick.
Yeah, and I thought the article on CBS Sports today kind of shed some light on this, Matt. Jason Lockenfora put out an article basically saying, could Mac Jones go three? Yeah, but it's not a slam dunk like some people think. And he said one AFC exec said, quote, I don't buy it. I think it's Fields at three. An NFC exec said, I don't know one way or the other, but I have a hard time seeing Mac Jones as the third player in the draft. And then another NFC exec said, quote, doesn't smell right to me.
So, yeah.
And to Eric's point about the leaks, it almost feels like it's a little too fishy. It's a little too easy, right, that Mac Jones is going there at three?
Agreed. Yeah. I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, speaking
the other thing,
go ahead, Eric.
The other thing that we have to think about as well is with Lawrence at like 100-1 to be the first pick and Zach Wilson 20-1, you know, -2,000 to be the second pick. The net, there's also, and who's reporting these things? We're talking about people out of ESPN. We're talking about people out of the networks. The networks have an incentive to make the third pick surprising because the first two are not going to be. And we have to be like, and if they, you know, were to make the market a -301 for Jones and manufacture a surprise when Fields gets drafted at three, I think that's a good thing for the broadcast as well. So, you know, there are a number of reasons why this might be done. And that's one of those where I think that this represents an opportunity. I'm not going to say it's like Mayweather-McGregor, but I think it's a situation where +250 on Fields might be one of the better draft prop bets you're ever going to see.
And one of the things I thought that's interesting, that it sort of happens every draft, but it seemed to happen more this year even than in recent memory, maybe it's with all the betting in the regulated market, is we tend at the end of the first round, we tend to see that it's usually around 16, I think last year was 17, 15 offense in terms of number of offensive players taken versus number of defensive players taken. But now with all this quarterback talk and the uncertainty around a couple of picks, let's face it, Mac Jones is always going to go in round one. Mm-hmm. So wasn't Fields. So wasn't Trey Lance. So at the end of the day, I think five quarterbacks expected in round one has always been the number. But what we have seen is suddenly the number of offensive players taken in round one has gone up to 18.5 over -140. So you need 19 of the 32 first round picks to be offensive players, and you have to lay $1.40. It just normally doesn't ever break that way. I love under 18.5 +125. What do you think of that play, offense versus defense players in round one?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I did a market implied mock draft last week, and I ended up with, I believe it was 19-13, and then the market went a little bit away. The cornerback market went from 3.5 to 4.5, and that it actually got down to 17.5. There's been more movement now. Wide receivers have gone 4.5. It was like -160. Now it's about -180. Offensive linemen, 6.5. We've seen that all the way up to -150. It's been back to about even money, maybe +110. So it is interesting. Like, I do think the fact that there are edge players in the draft. Like, Gregory Rousseau is the favorite early when the market's open. He might not even go in round one now the way that he tested. There's only one defensive interior player, Christian Barmore, who is worthy of a first-round pick. He might not even, you know, go there as well. And the safety market, there's Trayvon Morig, who, you know, that's why the safety market is, you know, 0.5 over is -250. But there's even a chance that he falls out given how safeties are valued. So it's you know, I would still probably right now, if it's 18.5, I would consider the under. I don't think that's a terrible bet because NFL teams value defense more than the media with fantasy football and all that kind of thing is concerned. But when you start adding up the individual positions, you're going to need a first-round edge player that's taken higher than you believe, or somebody like Jamin Davis, linebacker from Kentucky, to be going in the first round, or even, you know, something like that to happen. And like somebody like Najee Harris with Tampa Bay now acquiring Giovanni Bernard to fall all the way out of the first round for that bet to hit.
We're talking to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Always great stuff. And I've given Matt some homework here because I'm looking at DraftKings at this point in time. And during the show, Eric, we've seen a flip of favorites in first defensive player to be selected. And it was Micah Parsons for quite a while. It is now at DraftKings, Patrick Surtain, the corner out of Alabama. Do you have the William Hill one up yet, Matt?
I am trying to grab it right now.
No, Eric, when you look at first defensive player drafted, and we talked about this last week, and I love Micah Parsons as the player. He's great, but you know he's an off-ball linebacker. And you look at Patrick Surtain, who's a lockdown corner. You could still get Surtain at +175 at William Hill to be the first defensive player selected. Who do you think would be a good bet at first defensive player selected?
Yeah, I mean, you were looking at Parsons at -134 last week to be, and Surtain was in that +150 +180 range. They basically broke even with each other around this weekend, and now you're seeing Surtain. And I think it's really about how the board is going to sort of fall, because when you look at, you know, picks one through, I mean, you know, I had the first defender being Parsons going to Carolina at 8, but in reality, that might be one of the wide receivers, that might be one of the offensive linemen. If it gets to Dallas before the first defensive player is taken, Surtain's the pick, because Dallas has, you know, Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch at linebacker. And if it gets past them even, then you're talking about the Giants, who just got Blake Martinez in free agency last year. And it starts to get a little dicey for Parsons. I also think that some of the personal things with him, like I have a bet right now on Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame to be the first linebacker taken. I think I got it at 4-1. I do think that it's a styles make fight situation for Parsons, too, in that there might be a team that prefers the body, the 215-pound Owusu-Koramoah versus sort of the more traditional off-ball guy. You know, I do think that there's an out there if you already are carrying a Parsons ticket to the 8th spot with Carolina, but I do think this was supposed to be how it was, where Surtain's the favorite there, Parsons second, and, you know, somebody that's catching up a little bit, by the way, is J.C. Horn, cornerback, who, you know, was previously 8-1 to be the first cornerback taken, is now 7-1 to be the first defender taken.
Yeah, we had a guest on Friday's show, Benjamin Solak, who said he's got a ticket in pocket on J.C. Horn to be the first corner selected.
You know what I think's a really interesting one, too, is the first non-quarterback selected in the draft, which is Kyle Pitts +140, Sewell +150, and then Jamar Chase +250, and then after that, everyone's 18-1 or better, Parsons and Slater and Surtain. What do you think of those top three? Kyle Pitts, Sewell, Jamar Chase, first non-quarterback to be selected in the draft, Pitts 140, Sewell +150, Jamar Chase +250. Any interest there, or would you even look further for first non-quarterback to be drafted?
Yeah, this is interesting, because I think the Bengals go with Sewell at 5, and the reports being that they don't want to trade the pick. You know, there's some Jamar Chase chatter, but I do think the way, you know, signing Riley Reiff from Minnesota to a backup kind of contract, I think Sewell's their pick. So at 4, you really have to say, and I do know specifically Atlanta is enamored with Kyle Pitts, but it's hard to explain the value of taking Pitts at 4 when there's probably going to be a team like Denver that's going to give you a lot, or New England, or even now that there's rumors about Washington football team moving up to 4, giving you a king's ransom for that 4th quarterback. So I think if Atlanta keeps the pick is Pitts, and that's why he's the favorite here. If it gets past, if there's 4 quarterbacks, 1-4, I think Sewell's the bet here. So if you think Atlanta's going to trade the pick, Sewell at +175, I think that's some value. If you think Atlanta keeps the pick, which, you know, they have a new GM, a new head coach, there's not a ton of history there, then, you know, Pitts is probably rightfully the favorite. Chase obviously being the underdog there. I think Chase is probably going to go, you know, I have a feeling that Miami's going to trade out of 6 as well. Very smart organization, hold the team hostage at 6 for the last quarterback. I think Chase ends up going 7th to Detroit.
We only have about 30 or 45 seconds here, Eric. But if Mac Jones hypothetically goes three, do you think we're more likely to see that King's Ransom scenario at four? Or maybe even Atlanta says, wow, Justin Fields is here. Let's get him.
Yeah, I think that's the one situation where Atlanta just stays pat, takes a quarterback. I don't think they do it for Lance. I don't think they do it for Jones. But I think Fields might be the guy that's actually worth doing that, despite the contract limitations with Ryan.
He is Eric Eager. He does fine work on Pro Football Focus, and also check out the PFF forecast. He and George Shahouri, great stuff, breaking everything down all throughout the year and talking lots of gambling as well. Hey, Eric, always appreciate you staying up late, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. It was fun.
There he
thanks,
is.
Thanks, Eric.
Eric Eager. You can follow him on Twitter, at PFF _ Eric on Twitter. That's Matt Holt. I'm Tim Murray. Put Steph Curry in the game, at least. We're going to lose this bet,
I know.
Man.
I want Curry to have 50. 70. Yeah.
Goodness. I mean, he's going to get 48. They're not going to put him back in. And we're going to lose our bets.
I know.
Come on, Steve Kerr. At least put him back in the game. We'll get you an update on what's happening out in the Bay Area next. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Thank you, Steve Kerr, for at least helping us out. I mean, this has been painful to watch, but
yes.
At least Steph Curry now has 50. He put him back in. He went to the free throw line. He got fouled on a jumper. It's 111-98. The Warriors lead by 13 over the Denver Nuggets. And Steph Curry has hit the 50-point plateau. Six boards, four assists. So 60 is where he stands right now on points, rebounds, and assists. He had 10 three-pointers tonight. Absolutely.
What was that number, 40 and a half?
His PRA was 41 and a half.
41 and a half.
Yeah.
Either way you had it, it'd happen.
Yeah, you're pretty good. You're in pretty good shape when you hit 10 threes and get 50 points. You know, oddly enough, as we transition a little bit into treats and beats of the night, oddly enough, I would say if you told me that Steph Curry had 50 points, that I would have almost guaranteed you that Draymond Green's assist prop would have hit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And it hits under. He finishes with 7 assists.
And he's out? He's out of the game?
Yeah, this game. He's still in there right now.
Because it was only 8.5, so he could still pull a couple of quickies here.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe. It's possible. As Denver isn't giving up yet, and now Draymond Green, I'm watching up here. I'm like, is he gonna get fouled? Steph Curry just went down to the floor and was kind of getting roughed up on a loose ball. So I think it's time to take Steph Curry out of this game.
Yes,
you got his 50, and take him out. It's an 11-point game. I guess anything can happen in the NBA. But yeah, that's a bit of a beat. I guess I would say if you took the Draymond Green over assist prop. Nikola Jokic, did he get his triple-double? He is not. He doesn't even have a double-double right now.
Wow.
24 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists for MVP to be in Nikola Jokic. We haven't talked MVP. I think it's got a little, I don't know, it's got a little, by the way, you could have gotten no plus 430.
I've been looking for a week in town to see if anyone had that market up, and nobody in town does here.
Yeah,
Nevada.
And I think I saw it earlier today, I want to say DraftKings had Jokic at minus. Oh, there you have it, Simon. It's minus 250. We've gotten to the point, in my opinion, it's over.
It's over, yes.
He's won. He's won this thing. His numbers are ridiculous. They're going to be a top 4 seed in the Western Conference. I don't know why this weekend, Matt, I just came to the realization, I'm like, this thing is done.
Done.
He's winning the MVP. He's played every game this year, too. And that's the thing, too, is LeBron hasn't even returned yet. Embiid came back, and he's playing well, but he's going to miss a quarter of the games this season. Nikola Jokic has not missed one game yet this season. So that has to factor into the fact Oh, by the way, he's averaging 26 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists per game. So it's not like he's some, all right, fine, we'll give it to Nikola Jokic. No. This dude's almost averaging a triple-double for the fourth best team in the Western
Conference. A team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year.
So, and they're playing better right now outside of the last two games. It's Steph Curry just trying to make a three. It's not over yet.
We need a three ball here, and
Jamal Murray just loses it going out of bounds.
Yeah.
This is not good.
No. Andy got hurt.
Ooh, he's holding his left knee.
Yeah.
That doesn't look good.
No.
He's in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Oh, that is nerve-wracking as Jamal Murray, he is writhing in pain.
Right it was now. Bad. It looked like he is in a lot of pain right there.
50 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and Jamal Murray was just going up.
And I saw someone from the Warriors calling trainers over like, whoa.
And you think about Denver, too. Right now in the futures market, they're getting more respect than the Phoenix Suns. Jamal Murray, the way that he played last year in those semifinal games against the Clippers and in the first round when they had that epic first round series.
Yeah. You hate to see that. And you hope everything's okay because they're going to need him to make a run.
And they're still tending to him. So this is a scary moment for Jamal Murray, who is down in pain for the Denver Nuggets, going to the bucket in a 7-point game. The Nuggets leading by 7. They're about to show the replay. We'll see if his...
Just a weird step.
Yeah, he might have had that hyperextended knee, kind of went in and out.
Yeah.
So you never want to speculate, so hoping for the best, but that did not look good.
No, it sure didn't. And the way he was acting down on the floor, scary stuff.
Not a uplifting moment to end this segment. 111-104. Steph has 50. But the big story right now, Jamal Murray being helped off the floor out in the Bay Area. We'll keep our eyes on what is happening out in San Francisco. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. The spring sports betting action is just getting started. Our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We just talked about one. Patrick Surtain maybe being the first defensive player selected. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily, members-only, best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial. VSiN.com/subscribe. 115-106 is the score out in the Bay Area with a 9-point lead for the Golden State Warriors. 52 points for Steph Curry. By the way, you can't get enough of this game. Did you make another bet?
Yeah, I did. I bet.
And you won it.
I did. I bet first team to score 20 points in the fourth quarter, Denver.
Got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're up 23-16 in this fourth quarter. Steph Curry out there. The big story is Jamal Murray. Right now, Jamal Murray went down in a heap of pain. His left knee, it looked like, a hyperextension. It kind of went in and out. That knee kind of got a little bit wobbly there. So that's nerve-wracking to see.
Knees are always scary too.
Yeah, and he was helped off with an apparent knee injury. So. And this is the first game he's been back in 4 games. First game back, he's driving to the basket and is goes down with a left knee injury. And, you think about this Nuggets team and what Jamal Murray means to them. Now, Nikola Jokic is going to win the MVP of the league, Matt, but at the end of the day, if this Nuggets team wants to make it far in the postseason, as we saw last year in the first round when Jamal Murray had some epic games, he dropped 50 in a game in the first round last year.
I think he averaged 32 points per game in the first round.
I mean, he was unbelievable last year.
So good.
I'll pull up, and he had one game where he was off, but he was unbelievable. And you know, we really started to think about him in a different light because of some of those postseason performances he had. I'm pulling up the stats right now. Against the Utah Jazz, he had 50 in Game 6, 42 in Game 5, 50 in Game 4. And he averaged 31.6 points per game in that second round, in that first round series against the Utah Jazz. So it would just be a devastating blow if it were a significant setback there for Jamal Murray. So hopefully it is not a massive setback for Jamal Murray. But, man, the amount of pain he was in, you immediately think a little bit towards the worst as this game coming to a close. 52 points, though, for Steph Curry. How's you're keeping an eye on the A's and Diamondbacks here. Your Diamondbacks plus money money line bet.
Boy, they've had plenty of chances tonight, and they had cut it to 6-5. But yet another blunder. Had the A's scoring another run here in the top of the eighth to make it 7-5.
The Phoenix Suns were up 81-58 at half tonight over the Houston Rockets. The lowly Houston Rockets. Good for you, Houston. Got in that cover. Good job. 126-120, the final score. Phoenix wins. Houston covers. Gets well in the number.
Yes.
Phoenix was laying 12 in this spot.
And look, Houston came back with a shot to maybe win the game late. Really crazy how Phoenix just completely called off the dogs and almost paid for it. And certainly the backers of the Suns paid for it tonight. As Houston, to your point, sneaks well within that number. We talked about it. There was 2:42 to play. They were down 11. And we said, wow, they just got within the number for the first time. Well, they kept on chugging and, almost had a shot to tie the game up, but end up losing by 6.
I want to hit on some big college basketball news today. Speaking of devastating blows, Villanova was handed a pretty devastating blow back in early March when Colin Gillespie was lost for the year with a torn MCL. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, not a surprise, he leaves Villanova for the NBA draft after 2 years, Matt. But Colin Gillespie today announced he's coming back.
Yep.
And also, Jermaine Samuels announced he will be returning. If you're not familiar with Jermaine Samuels, 12 points a game, 6 rebounds per game, 37% three-point shooter. Colin Gillespie, 14 points, 4.5 assists. They're bringing back 4 of their 5 starters outside of Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Their entire bench is pretty much coming back. They need players like Brian Antoine to step up.
Yeah.
He's kind of a big unknown and didn't really play all that well. They had their top recruit actually enrolled mid-season, Trey Patterson. Now, he didn't add a ton, but still, he's already there. I believe
getting some valuable.
24/7 Sports had Trey Patterson as the 33rd top prospect in the country, adding in a couple more top 100 recruits. So as of right now, Villanova has the 4th best recruiting class in the country coming in next year. Everyone back except Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Man, Villanova, this is a team that I was very high on this year. I had multiple futures plays on them. I'm going to be back in on Villanova.
Yeah.
You can get them at 25-1 at the Westgate Superbook. I think Villanova, and you see right there at DraftKings at 14-1, I think Villanova at 25-1, even this early in the offseason, with everything coming back, you should have a pretty normal offseason, all things considered.
Yep.
Compared to last year. And remember, Villanova had multiple COVID shutdowns early in the season. I like Villanova at that price at 25-1.
I do as well. I think you'll see as the season gets closer and people start analyzing it, not even as the season gets closer. In 3 weeks from now, Villanova will be the second choice.
Yeah.
Behind Gonzaga.
Wow, you think so? All the way up?
Yeah, I think they're going to skyrocket up the board.
Yeah, so I guess I need to make
it. I mean, Gonzags, I think they're going to get that kid, Chet.
Holmgren.
Yeah. And if and there's a shot Timmy
Walker
comes back.
Kessler.
Imagine a, Timmy coming back with
he's
Chet
coming
Holmgren.
Back, man. Yeah. Drew Timmy, it's not reported, but the way that he played in that championship, he has to come back.
Yeah.
His stock is at an all-time low. Walker Kessler announcing he's going to Auburn. There's a lot of movement in the futures market.
Auburn had three big transfers today.
And the SEC has done really well.
Yes.
Florida did well.
Yeah.
They get the kid from Charleston Southern. Alabama has been doing very, very well. Arkansas has been doing well. And Auburn.
And your school, Virginia.
Yeah, UVA. They got they got the kid from East
Jaden
Carolina.
Gardner.
Yeah.
So. 19-9. That kid can play. AAC Player of the Year.
A lot of movement today in college hoops. It's a nightcap. Wrap things up next here on VSiN. Well, I'm not very happy. During the break, I took a look at my app. I was going to stop on the way in. Things got a little...
Just robbed of a homer. Oh, bummer.
Oh, all man. Right.
Look at this one. Over the fence grab. Oh, biscotti.
Matt's got a bet on the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
It's not going well. What also is not going well is...
Jamal Murray's knee?
Hopefully that's not as bad as it looked. That did not look promising. But we were just talking about Villanova. I was re-energizing myself. I was going to stop on the way in, but, things got in the way. I couldn't stop. I was like, all right, I'm going to stop on the way home. Can I get that 25-1 ticket? Yep, 16-1. 16-1 right now, Villanova. They have the third shortest odds at the Westgate Superbook right now, behind Gonzaga at 5-1 and Michigan at 12-1. Then there's a handful of others at 16. Duke, Baylor, Villanova, Kansas, UCLA, all those teams sitting at 16-1. Not happy. Not happy, Matt. Thought I was going to go play it. Not going
to
happen.
I just got a 22-1 bet in town.
All right. Well, don't say where it's at.
Nope. You could probably still get it.
I need to make sure. I need to be like a Boy Scout. They're always prepared. Be prepared is the motto of the Boy Scouts. I was not prepared on my app. I didn't have enough on the app to be ready to fire.
You always got to have a little sprinkle funds in there.
You need to have the sprinkle funds. That was my fault. That's on me. It's when I tap the chest. I like to blame other people because it's more fun to blame other people.
It's way easier.
Yeah, it's so much easier. But really, if I just had enough on the sprinkle fund there, we'd be good to go. I would have played it, and we'd be good to go. So that's a bummer. But hey, to those of you who got 25-1, I think including yourself.
22. I got 22, but yeah.
So a little bit of a bummer there. But we press on and we take a look at tomorrow. By the way, Golden State has won 116-107 the final. So a nice little money line there. Let's take a look. See the dogs that came home tonight. The Knicks were a short favorite.
Yeah.
But you actually could have got a decent money line price at the end. They were laying one. And the Knicks beat the Lakers running
started
away.
Started out pretty chalky in the 7 p.m. Eastern, 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern games were very chalky, and then the dog started barking.
Yeah, Washington, dog, woof, plus 490. That one comes home.
As high as 12.5, I saw one book. Wow.
New Orleans, not a dog, but they come home. Then Golden State, plus 181, and Houston doesn't win. But does get the cover. And as you mentioned, on the ice tonight, we had a, plus 330 dog come home?
Yeah.
Oof. Big dog in the Detroit Red Wings.
That is a big, big dog.
They were plus 313 here at Circa at close, and they come home with a 3-1 win. Looking ahead to tomorrow as we turn the page in our final segment of the evening here, Matt, the NBA slate, a couple games. Boston out in Portland. Everyone's been wondering. Everyone's been asking, okay, when is Boston going to turn around? I don't know if they ever will fully.
Yeah.
What they anticipate to be, or but tomorrow might be a spot where I wonder if it is a buy low opportunity on Portland. Now they play terrible defense, but Boston is coming off of a thumping of Denver on Sunday night, 105-87, and Boston is a 1-point dog in Portland. Everybody is going to be on Boston tomorrow night.
Everybody, yeah.
Everybody.
I'm going to be on Portland for sure.
I think Portland is the play tomorrow night, and that'll certainly make the show interesting for both of us. If we're both on Portland, yeah, I think that's going to be a play for me for sure to go with Portland laying a point right now against the Boston Celtics. That is,
and I don't hate Phoenix tomorrow either. Phoenix hosting Miami. And this was a spot tonight where Phoenix called off the dogs early. So it wasn't like
81-58 at the half.
Yeah, and they just called off the dogs. Houston was able to get back in it, get with inside the number. But you have to remember, this is Miami who traded for Victor Oladipo without Victor Oladipo. I think Phoenix is probably going to get it done tomorrow at a short number. Three?
That's
tomorrow?
That's
very
short.
Light. Yeah.
Very short. Phoenix obviously coming off of a back-to-back, but like you said, took their foot off the pedal. They led 81-58 at the half. They ultimately win 126.
This was like a half a back-to-back. They only played about half the game. Starters.
So Phoenix, two pretty good games tomorrow night while we'll be on the air with Phoenix hosting Miami and Portland hosting Boston. I certainly do like Portland in that spot, laying the short number. The Lakers are in Charlotte tomorrow, so back-to-back there for the Lakers. Yep. And, you know, we talked about the
road. And they're a road favorite.
Which is surprising. Well, you got to think, Charlotte's without Malik Monk, without Gordon Hayward, without LaMelo Ball. I know the Lakers are without their big boys in AD and LeBron, but we did see them win over the weekend against Brooklyn big. And every game, I know I keep saying this, every chance to just get a win is so important to this Lakers team. They lose tonight. Yeah. Tomorrow's a really important game for them in Charlotte because they're going to return home with some difficult games in front of them. This is an important one for them. I see that the Lakers are the 1-point favorite at DraftKings, but there's an offshore shop that I see is showing a
one point the other way. Yeah.
So this game will probably hover around that pick one flip-flop the other way. And that sounds about right.
Yep, I agree. And as we talked about earlier, the reason the Clippers are a cheap two-point favorite tomorrow against the Indiana Pacers is no Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's already been announced.
And Turner, I don't know if Turner's going to be playing.
Turner's out. So for Indiana, Turner is out. And for the Clippers, Beverly Ibaka, Kawhi Leonard all out.
So would you touch that game or stay away?
It's a stay away for me.
So Portland.
I'd be interested in the total because Kawhi and Turner both actually play pretty good defense, and they're both going to be out. And you feel like, oh, the stars are out, it's going to go under. But it's two stars who play defense. Thus, I might, depending on what the total is, I could have a slight lean to the over.
Could I interest you in a very a home dog almost 2-1 tomorrow in baseball?
Maybe.
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
I'm less interested.
Blake Snell pitching tomorrow for the San Diego Padres. And the Pittsburgh Pirates are plus 195 at home.
Woo!
But there's a reason.
Yeah, I'm slightly interested. Looking at that slate again, I'll tell you who I am a little interested in is Hendricks and the Cubs. You know, the first time these two teams played a week ago is a 1-0 game. Both pitchers are going to be excellent, but Woodruff is probably not going to go deep the way he throws. I actually don't love Milwaukee's bullpen here. At plus 135, 140 range, I would think I'd rather have the Cubs. I don't want to lay $1.45 or $1.50 with Milwaukee. So I would consider the Cubs in that spot. Luis Castillo is a small dog. Is very interesting. The Reds have like the second best run differential in baseball so far.
They've been smashing the ball.
Yeah, they just won again. They pitched a shutout tonight. So the Reds as a small dog, anytime they're a dog, really, especially against the Giants, that's a little interesting to me.
What about a 3-1 dog in baseball?
Yeah, the Rockies. I've tried the Rockies a couple times.
I got them home on opening day. They won against Kershaw.
Marquez.
And then I think I faded them the next day. Actually, no, I take that back. I did not play them on opening day. But I faded them on the second game. I took the Dodgers on the run line. They were still minus a dollar something on the road. Trevor Bauer pitches tomorrow. And here at Circa, Dodgers are minus 340.
DraftKings opened minus 375. This is baseball.
Yeah. This is baseball in April, man.
Yeah. Wow.
What I'm intrigued about, too, is South Point, I think DraftKings, too, have 7.5s. Juice minus 115 to the under. Strasburg and Flaherty pitching tomorrow. Nats and Cubs, or Nats and Cardinals. I didn't get Johnson & Johnson, but someone who did get a vaccine, I was feeling terrible the second day. And Davey Martinez, the Nats manager, said that the Nats majority of the team received their vaccine shots today. So just putting it out there that they could be a little sluggish tomorrow against the Cardinals. Now
Strasburg always a little bit overinflated in the market price.
But the Nats bats did come a little bit of alive today. They won 5-2. Anything else on the baseball board jumping out at you? We didn't even look. Shane Bieber's been pitching. That's a great pitching matchup tomorrow.
Yeah, Giolito's awesome too.
Bieber against Giolito, that is a tremendous pitching matchup. Yeah. A lot of strikeouts should be expected in that.
Yeah, that's really good. I would probably lean White Sox just because they're the small dog there. And Giolito maybe doesn't, he's not going to have as many strikeouts at Bieber, but he may be an all-around better pitcher.
You can get Lucas Giolito at home at plus money.
I know. Against Cleveland. Yeah, it is.
Plus 103 right now, you can find on the Chicago White Sox. All right, that's going to do it. Steph Curry, he had 53 points. That's a lot. That ruined a couple bets. That was not fun. The Wizards also apparently are better than the Utah Jazz. That was not ideal either.
The Arizona Diamondbacks aren't better than anybody.
And that also not ideal. But, hey, you know what? Jeff Benson being in studio, Eric Eager, Will Hill, those were all positives. Matt Holt, I'm Tim Murray. We'll talk to you tomorrow night right here on the Nightcap.